everybody, and welcome to a very monumental episode of Yahweh Reddit. My name is Laura. I'm one of the hosts.
My name is Maggie, and I am the other host.
And this is a crazy time to be alive. You've caught us at the very end of our Gossip Girl book season. This is the 12th Gossip Girl book. I guess it might be the 13th because I think the prequel was technically 12th. But this is the Gossip Girl sequel, I Will Always Love You, which really wraps up the entire series. I would say, honestly, pretty well. I really liked this as a book format.
Yeah, I think that following them through college and then also ending it on the what will become of them in adulthood is a really good way of wrapping up not only the high school years, but also the college years. Because it does kind of feel like when you graduate college, you're just falling into a pool that you don't really know if you'll sink or swim.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what the feeling I got away from Gossip Girl was. And it felt very... I have to say, I think that this is one of my favorite, what I would classify as hot girl series that we've read so far.
Yeah, I would argue that this is probably one of the most cohesive hot girl series we've read so far, despite all of the ghostwriters that came into play.
Exactly. Well, you said last episode that Cicely was back for this one, right? She penned the sequel?
I don't think she did.
Really? Because whoever did this one...
Yeah, they did really well, right?
Kudos to them. They deserve all their flowers. They knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, because the book I have still says it's a Gossip Girl novel invented by Cicely Von Ziesker. But maybe not.
Maybe she hopped back. Who knows? Yeah. But
who knows?
As we have alluded to, I Will Always Love You is different from the regular series. They are not in high school. They have started college, and it moves through those four formative years of college. We got freshman year, sophomore year, junior year, senior year, you know, all the years.
Yeah. No, and it plays kind of like a movie because every year we're checking in right around New Year's. So they've gone through like a semester of school, they're on winter break, and then we kind of catch up with everybody, and then they kind of go off to live their life again, only to check in with them at the same time next year, which I thought was a really nice touch. It kind of played out like a Netflix movie that I would absolutely watch.
I agree. And seeing that this book is about 500 pages, should we just dive right in?
It's not 500 pages, it's like 380, Maggie.
Oh, was it really? On my computer. Listen, readers and viewers, I don't buy the books. I read them in the most bizarre way, which is usually on my phone or my desktop.
But you're right, Maggie. It's basically 500. I'm being contrite here. Let's just dive in the best way we know how. Head first.
So the Gossip Girl posse is in college. Blair has a Yale boyfriend. Serena is a movie star-ish. A little bit, kind of. Nate, as we know, is sailing the world for 4 months with Captain Chips. Dan and Vanessa are still together, and Vanessa has friends at college. She's thriving.
Yeah, and it's important to note that this is really taking place, like, what, 4 months after they all go to college? Like, this is their first freshman year winter break. So very, very connected to where we last left off with them. We do get a quick intro to Pete, who is Blair's boyfriend, who is rich. His family lives in Vermont. And she notes that things with him are like really, really easy. And she has a lot of fun with him, which is like good for her. She's killing it because Nate was kind of a chode. And Blair quickly learns that she is not invited with his family to go to their Costa Rica holiday vacation. So she's got to make other plans.
They have a no ring, no bring rule, so she is going to plan a girl's trip to New York City and kind of just hope that she can crash at Serena's place since her parents, Cyrus and Eleanor, moved to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
Serena, movie star, she's on the town. She's out drinking with some actresses. She's got Amazing. A squad where they all have A names except for her, which is fun. It's kind of like the Heathers. And she's all alone for Christmas. Her parents are out of town. She sees Isabel out with her girlfriend. Isabel has a girlfriend from women's studies class. College, Slay. Doing your thing.
A classic college.
And Isabel drops the fact that Chuck is having a New Year's Eve party, one of his famous New Year's Eve parties. So Serena's like, perfect. I have plans for New Year's Eve. I guess I'll go.
Easy peasy. Nate, we check in with him on the Belinda, the boat that Chip sails. And Chips has taken him to one last spot and then draws a line in the sand and says, buddy, I gotta take you home. You're a kid. I can't just have you sailing for a year with me. You gotta go be around humans before you become my age and get to retire to the sea.
Yeah, this 60-year-old finally probably realized after a few months in that maybe it is weird that an 18-year-old is heading to Palm Beach with him. So he's gonna drop him off in Palm Beach. Nate's gonna fly back to New York. And he's finally got to choose between Blair and Serena, which...
Yeah, hey, and his future, like...
I guess so. If we can draw that plot out for the last 11 books, we can draw it out for one more, so let's do it.
Exactly. Dan, who's been at Evergreen in Washington, of course is transferring to Columbia so he can be closer to Vanessa. And he is mad at himself for agreeing to go on a New Year's Eve, like, beat poet camping trip with his dad. Because Vanessa is now in the city for New Year's Eve and he wants to hang with her instead, obviously, but he can't back out of his promises.
He can't. He was completely uninspired by the trees of the Pacific Northwest. I guess maybe the beauty of Washington was overwhelming.
It's too much fresh air for him.
Yeah, it's, I mean, one of the most prettiest places I've ever been, but go off. So he has transferred to Columbia and he's just like so excited because he's like, oh, Vanessa and I can get a studio apartment. She can transfer too. And he's telling her all these plans and she's like, okay, slow down. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
They need to establish independence outside of a relationship.
Which, like, great for Vanessa, but also who the fuck would live in your with, like, your partner in a studio apartment? That is the worst idea I've ever heard. I don't care how well you think you get along with someone. Never live in a studio apartment with another person. No. Because it's there's nowhere to go. You need time away from this person.
Exactly. Unless you lived like Laura and I lived, which is two studios down the hall. I think partners could do that. That'd be pretty fun.
Yeah. Oh my God. Nick and I always joked when we were moving in together. He was like, well, I'll just get an apartment in the music box and we can live near each other.
That'd be great. You have your own space to go back to.
Yeah. I love that apartment. So what was the issue?
Well, Dan is going on this retreat with his dad. Vanessa's going to go to her film TA's party later that night.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve party time, though, we go back to Chuck's because his is the hot pop in place. Blair calls Serena. She's like, what's up, buddy? I am coming over. And they both kind of catch up, but they hide how lonely their lives are from each other because it's party time.
It's party time. And Serena is very quick to bail on these New Year's Eve plans with Blair to go to Chuck's because she's with her three anonymous blonde friends. And Brecken Odell has just asked her to be in a PR relationship with her. So she simply can't be bothered to hang out with her lifelong friend. She has to entertain all of these new friends that she's just had. So that's kind of a bummer.
Blair is checking her phone. It is 11:15 p.m. She has not heard from Serena, so she is considering leaving. And as she is considering leaving, who shows up but Nate? Who?
Yeah, yikes. They run into each other at Chuck's party. We learn a little bit before this that Chuck did not go to military school. He's at a school called Deep Springs, which is kind of like a farm school where you just like tend to cows, plant some plants. And he says he's different now and he seems really different.
Yeah, learning Blair how to milk a cow, I guess, will change you fundamentally as a person.
Wow, that's really deep, Maggie. But Blair and Nate, they run into each other at this party and almost immediately Blair's like, I'm still in love with him, which is not good because she has a boyfriend. And she also at this point has not spoken a single word to him, really.
She is fully ready to go back to his place and forgive him, which is great.
Yikes.
On the other side of town, Vanessa is at her film TA's New Year's Eve party. His name is Hollis. And they are flirting on a roof in New York. It's so romantic. And then they kiss at midnight.
And in typical Vanessa fashion, she loves to cheat on her boyfriends. She's having a great time with that. She doesn't pull away. She leaves quickly afterwards because she's like, back in my old habits. She doesn't say that. I said that. Because Vanessa has cheated on people so many times in this book.
If there's one thing I know that Vanessa is obsessed with, it is absolute vodka, getting B-real for a film that she doesn't really have a concrete plan for yet, and cheating on her partner.
That's Vanessa on a t-shirt for sure.
Exactly.
Blair and Nate are at Nate's place immediately. Like, they don't exchange formalities at this party. They're immediately like, we need to go talk at Nate's apartment. And they immediately start kissing and saying that they love each other, which is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe let's catch up for a little bit first. Like, ask me how I'm doing before you tell me that you're still in love with me.
Blair does break character and cry here. She's like, make sure that you, I know, bold. You can't leave me again. Her and Vanessa need those t-shirts. So, like, do you remember the, like, Little Miss Chatterbox? But it just says Little Miss Cheater. That's them.
Yeah.
They show up at Serena's the next morning, hand in hand, and Serena's like, damn, it's over for you hoes. It's over for me.
Yeah, so Serena, not so subtly very jealous. They all are getting breakfast together. And Blair is like, well, Nate, now that we're back together, you should go to Yale because you deferred.
So that's going to be his next move. He might go to Yale in the spring and they suffer through this awkward brunch together. Dan, meanwhile, Woo-hoo. Is camping upstate with his dad and his dad's friends when he realizes, oh, shit, I don't want to be here. They're making me be the they're making me be the watchdog.
Wait a minute.
Go back home to Vanessa, and his dad is like, do you want money for a flight? And Dan goes, no, I got this. I'm gonna hitchhike. So he hitchhikes and he gets in this car with this guy who, like, will not shut up about his wife, which sounds more romantic than it is, but I think this guy also smells, like, really bad. So
yeah.
Just picture that.
Anytime I hear, like, you are hitchhiking with someone, I just immediately am like, I picture the worst case of the scenario. The next day, Blair is walking down the street and she gets a call that there is a present for her at Tiffany's waiting and they would love if she could pick it up by the time they close. And Blair's like, oh my God, Nate and I are back together. He's all in buying me gifts. That is amazing. And Blair gets there and who should it be? It's Pete. What wonderful timing.
And unlike the time that Nate bought her a really ugly necklace from Tiffany's that she didn't like, Pete buys her a very thoughtful ring that is gold and rose gold. And Blair goes, I can't date you anymore. I just can't do it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And like the fact that only days have passed since she saw him last and she's already like out of this relationship and she was so devastated that she couldn't go to Costa Rica. It's like, Blair, that's really shitty. But Serena is on set right now and she's been mulling over this whole Blair and Nate situation and she decides to leave her job on this set to go tell Nate that she still loves him.
Yep. Just, I mean, maybe it's because she was not acting that well, but she finally does one tear and is like, this is all the emotional motivation I need to go tell Nate, leave my job and tell Nate how I feel. So she is kind of gonna go do that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nate, though, he has other plans because he's decided that he is going to officially go to Yale in the spring to be with Blair. So ship has sailed a little bit.
Easy peasy. He's made his choice. Hollis, on the other hand, shows up at Vanessa's house, which is actually the Humphreys' house, to give her camera back because on New Year's Eve, she left in such a hurry. And they immediately start kissing again. And Dan, who comes home, walks into her bedroom of her and him, like, naked hooking up, which is just like, Vanessa, what did you think was going to happen?
So cringe, because he opens the door and he goes, honey, I'm home.
Oh, no. Talk about bad timing.
Can you imagine? That's one of those things where sometimes online they'll be like, you can't waterboard this story out of me. And it's like, you could say hi and I'll tell you, like, I shit my pants yesterday. But I think that this is genuinely a story where if I was like, honey, I'm home and I found my partner naked with someone else, I would be so embarrassed. I'd be like, am I corny? Am I the problem? Is it because I said that? If I didn't say that, would they not have cheated?
Imagining you very defeated being like, is it because I said, honey, I'm home? Is that why he's here?
I like don't even let I don't even give them a second to get their clothes on. I'm like, let's debrief after the situation. Was it the cadence with which I delivered it, or was it the words? What? Why are you cheating, honey?
Was it the absolute gusto in which I mustered out, "Honey, I'm home"?
I don't know.
Or was it the fact that I didn't do it sooner? You tell me.
I feel like if we stay on this point, I will completely justify Vanessa cheating on Dan for being cringe.
We'll move on. Serena gets to Nate's, and Serena is immediately like, what if we sailed around the world? Kind of stealing his whole thing with Blair, because they went on a month-long trip together.
Stolen Valor. But
Serena knows that Blair is in the shower, so this is awful.
Yeah, Blair comes out in a towel, and you know how women effortlessly look great in a towel, and is like, excuse me, are you talking to my boyfriend about this right now? For real?
Yeah, and they have a very, like, obvious, like, he's mine fight in front of each other, in front of Nate, and it's very, very awkward.
They are not going to be friends after this interaction, that's for sure.
Yes, and this ends year one. Maggie, I know we discussed not doing a top five, but what if we did a canceled character per year?
Oh, that is so fun.
I feel like that's what we need, right?
I would say the canceled character for freshman year would have to be Serena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't go to your friend who's just gotten back together with her ex-boyfriend and be like, just kidding, I'm still in love with him. That's really shitty.
You have to move on at some point, and it's also going to make you feel bad because you're second best.
Yeah.
Speaking of second best, we're moving into sophomore year, which is, you know what? I had good sophomore year. Sophomore year might have been my favorite, but
yeah.
It is the second one. That's my segue. Nate is on the alpaca farm that Chuck went to school and worked on.
Deep Springs.
Represent. What do you think their mascot is?
Yeah, I hope they... it's one of the cows wearing a jersey, and it's just chewing on grass being like, meh.
I like to imagine cow is in the forefront, geyser in the background.
They didn't have enough people for the basketball team, so they had to get one of the cows to play, like, left center.
Exactly. That's their Air Bud. That's the Deep Space Air Bud. Blair got back together with Pete. Serena is learning the luxury of a lonely life, which,
it's honestly, I gotta do the same.
You gotta stand by that. Exactly.
Hey, I highly recommend being single. Mm-hmm. I also recommend being in a healthy relationship, but I loved being single.
Yeah, we're both the angels on your shoulder, which is advocating for two different lives.
We're two angels being like, oh, you could have a really good time of being single, but you could also have a really good time being in a loving, healthy relationship. So
exactly. This is the balance that we needed.
Yeah.
And Vanessa is dating Hollis instead of Dan now. Dan's not doing much. He's just meeting honeys after his poetry semester.
He's living his life, being a little writer guy.
Mm-hmm.
Big sullen turn here. Nate is at Chips's funeral. We learn that Chips had cancer the whole time that him and Nate were, like, getting mentored. So it's really sad. And he also thinks that this might have been why Chips sent him home early, is because, you know, he was dying. But Nate feels like he's also changed from being at Deep Springs. He's not, like, super into weed anymore. He's not really thinking about girls because Deep Springs is an all-boys school. Chuck is with him at this funeral because Chuck's a good friend now, I guess. And Chuck's like, hey, buddy, why don't you stay in the Big Apple for a few days? Could let you have some fun, you know?
Nate is probably not going to get a flight home anyways because I think it is snowing. So he is going to stay.
Yeah.
And here's he. Vanessa is moving into a nice apartment with Hollis, her boyfriend, who is now a big shot Hollywood movie producer. They are going to move into Williamsburg. And Slay. Most people are going to be going to Chuck's New Year's Eve party once again. Serena is our chief character who shows up first. She is kind of catching up with everyone. Isabel is a retired lesbian. She has retired from the game. She's cashed out on her 401k. She seems pretty embarrassed that she ever did that. She was like, what a phase. and Serena isn't really acting anymore. Like we said, she's just kind of reading books. She's like, I should learn something that I haven't before. So she's reading like Leo Tolstoy and shit like that.
Yeah, she's kind of unsure about like ever getting back into movies. So big shift there. She also sees Nate at this party, and first thing out of Nate's mouth is about the cows at school, which I think is absolutely hilarious. Could you imagine seeing your, like the in your eyes, the one that got away, and the first thing they tell you is not like, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. They're like, wow, we just got a new cow at school. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, doesn't Nate mention that Serena reminds him of one of his favorite cows?
He's like, she's got pretty hair like you. That's so funny.
Yeah, Serena just immediately falls into a rhythm. The cow line works on her. I mean, I don't know. If someone was milking something like a cow for years and I got compared to it, I would maybe pause and not kiss them. But she doesn't really do that.
Blair and they kiss. And Blair and Pete heading to the party, and Blair's like, silly me, can I ever, like, how funny of me that this time last year I was ready to dump Pete for Nate. That was so silly of me. But the moment she walks into this party, she sees Nate and Serena kissing, and she loses her fucking mind. She, like, leaves the party, has to go to the hotel, is having a whole meltdown, and Pete's like, can you just tell me what's going on so I can understand you better? And so she explains every single detail about the Nate plot line, including how she cheated on him last year and basically dumped him. And that's when Pete learns that she cheated on him, and he is really unhappy about it.
She's also essentially not only, like, mentioned that Nate was her high school boyfriend and kind of eased on over that, she just, like, doesn't really talk about them in general. Like, he doesn't know a lot about Serena, which I feel like I would be pretty forthcoming about my insecurities to my boyfriend about all of that.
Yeah,
but obviously Pete breaks up with her because I don't know why you would stay with someone who cheated on you. And Blair is just kind of gonna be alone. She's in her sophomore slump for real.
Yay. Great line there, Maggie.
Thank you.
Speaking about slumps, Dan has writer's block it's hard being him. So he decides to dig up some of his old poems, and he finds one about Serena from, when he was in high school, and he uses that to kind of help him get the gears turning again.
Yeah. He pieces together a few lines, which is great. Yeah. Serena, subject of his dreams, is waking up with another man, aka Nate. And Nate really fumbles the bag here, because immediately he brings up Blair and doesn't really, and Serena goes, I love you. And Nate doesn't really reassure Serena she's the one for him. Doesn't really say, yeah, I love you back.
And Serena rightfully gets very insecure and is like, I have a lot of things to do today. You should probably leave. And I honestly thought this is going to kind of be like the end of the Serena and Nate plot line. And I'm kind of mad that they kept it going. I think, like, this would have been like a good kind of closure piece for them. Like, maybe they're not meant to be together. But this author had a lot of fun, so I can't diss them for that, because they really just kept nail in the head hitting this love triangle.
I mean, Serena, I guess, loves paint, and she just keeps twisting the knife in of herself. She does very do a little retail therapy after this, though. She goes out shopping. Meanwhile, Blair is alone ordering room service, and she's like, why am I alone? I'm in New York. I should go out shopping. And who does she run into but Serena.
And Blair makes it very clear that they are not friends, which, harsh, but, like, fair, honestly. So kind of like they are not getting back together anytime soon as friends. Chuck decides to check in on Nate, and Nate decides to read a letter that Chip's left to him, that says one of Chip's quippy things that I didn't write down. But Nate uses this as the motivation to go tell Blair that it's her. It's been her all along, you know?
Serena can't take an L, though, because that poem that Dan Frankenstein together is going to be in the New Yorker. His professor submitted it. They loved it. So Serena reads the New Yorker now. I don't know if you know this. She's in her big read girl era.
Yeah, she's in her studious phase.
Erudite. And Serena emails Dan to meet up for coffee. So they're going to meet up together. Hollis, meanwhile, is deciding to make Vanessa's teen years into a movie, so they meet with some execs, because he's big Hollywood producer guy.
Big shot man.
And the execs are kind of twisting her movie idea. Hollis isn't really stopping them, isn't stepping in to stop them. And she's so over it, which I also would be.
Really? See, I would, I feel like I would go into any pitch movie being like, this could change completely, because like that's how Hollywood is. And I, this was kind of shocking, so I felt like Vanessa should know that it's like, if you're pitching to a room of producers and they want to make a bunch of changes to fund your movie, it's, that's probably how you got to do it, you know. And then you can always try to pitch the changes back, but
I also was curious,
kind of like the business.
I was curious if they had like a solidified script, because it just seemed like they had an idea.
Yeah, I think it's just an idea, because they only decided they were going to do this like 4 days ago, you know?
Yeah, that is true. All right. Well, they can roll with the punches then.
Exactly. Dan and Serena get drinks. Instead of coffee, they get alcoholic beverages. Yummy, yummy. Ooh. And he gives her some fatherly advice and tells her to go to Yale.
Yeah, they seem to be hitting it off. And she's like, maybe I will go to college and maybe I can come back to New York and hang out with Dan, my new friend.
Yeah, great for her, I guess.
Woohoo. Nate somehow knows Blair is at this hotel and knows her room. So Blair is like, picture this, Blair is asleep and she's in like a hot little teddy outfit. She's expecting Pete to come bring her roses. Nate somehow shows up, somehow opens the door, but he's high and drunk and is choosing now to tell her that he loves her. And I would be so goddamn mad.
And he does this by crawling into her bed and cuddling with her. This was one of the most insane things that I've ever heard of. And of course, Pete, who is just so good at timing, walks in like seconds after Blair turns on the light to be like, who the fuck is in my bed? And Blair tries to explain to Pete, but Pete's like, no. No, we're good. We're done here.
Yeah, Pete throws these roses that he got Blair on the ground, and Blair tells Nate to leave because fuck him. That's crazy.
And she tells him to leave while she's throwing up because she was also getting drunk by herself, which I thought was really funny.
Hey, who doesn't? You gotta love.
Who doesn't? Let's go. Gotta have some fun.
You gotta love a bottle of Josh alone.
Hollis is back in their Williamsburg apartment and Vanessa is livid still, but he comes back with a puppy and he apologizes. He says, hey, when I saw them really changing the ideas of your movie, I kept going with it because I still want you to be able to make that movie. And this way you still can, which I thought was actually really nice to be like, hey, I'm going to make this movie that isn't your movie, so it can still be yours, you know?
Yeah, I do think he saved face pretty well. But he is going to be filming in Iceland for about 10 months, so he's going to be gone for a while. Ooh. Which Vanessa kind of sees as like, oh, well, this is great. I've abandoned most of my friends at NYU for this relationship. Maybe I can have a crumb of independence while he is gone.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. She should have that. You shouldn't put your entire self into your relationship. That's a bad idea.
Exactly.
Blair runs into Chuck at like the hotel bar, and they have a little conversation about Nate. So like they're just catching up as old pals.
Yeah, he's everyone's shoulder to cry on for some reason in this book.
Yeah, big shift from Chuck this book.
He lets her know, hey, you can stay in my suite, I'll sleep in my apartment. And the next day, Serena is drinking in this lobby of the Tribeca, that hotel, in the morning, kind of hoping that Blair shows up so she can tell her the good news that she is going to go to Yale, and begs Blair to be her friend. But Blair is like, nope, I'm going abroad next year. Have fun. See ya.
Yeah. Honestly, I think that's very fair. I think it's completely valid given the fact that Serena's been kind of a shitty friend throughout this book series and her life, to just be like, no, I don't want to be friends with you. And that's where the end of year two ends. Meggie, who is the canceled character of year two?
Oh, canceled character has to be Nate.
The bed crawling thing, I think, really, really did it.
It's such a lack of boundaries and such an entitlement to someone else's body that leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Me too. I agree.
I don't like it.
No, me either.
We are rolling into junior year. Blair is in Britain. She said she was going to be abroad. Nate. Great. Dating someone new. I think their name is Gertie or Gerbil or something.
Yep.
Don't remember.
Gertie your gerbil. I wrote down for this that Nate likes cows. Like, his whole thing is that he really likes the cows on the farm.
Hey, cows are really cute. You get them shampooed. Yeah. They're adorable and fluffy. And Jenny is going to come back. And hold up, this is going to be pretty wild. Buckle in. Serena is at Yale. Yes, and she is dating Dan.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
I pitched a theory that obviously the show came out in 2007, book came out in 2009. So I am wondering if the popularity of the show kind of bled over into the book.
I could absolutely see that, of them being like, you know what, let's give Serena and Dan another run like we did in the show, because we know everybody likes them together now.
Yeah, I think it was a really good thing for the show to do that, because I think it added a little bit of depth to her character. Like, I think she has such a narrow worldview that is so tied to class and status, that it gives her humanity that she does not really have in the book.
No, in the book, Serena is probably one of the most, like, two-dimensional protagonists we've ever had on this podcast.
Yes.
Which is saying a lot, because, like, for a lot of these YA series, it's like, they can fledge out characters pretty well, but, like, Serena, for some reason, is just, like, so boring and so, like, inactive. It's so weird.
She really is. We have Serena's counterpart, who's also kind of floating around Nate. He doesn't really know where he's going to go because his 2 years at the alpaca farm is up. So he is touring Brown, and he runs into Jenny, who is touring the Rhode Island School of Design. They catch up, which they seem to hit it off.
Which, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't necessarily make sense, because Jenny was a freshman when they were all a senior. So, like, even if he took 2 years off, like, Jenny wouldn't be ready to go to college yet. But who am I to judge? Oh, I guess this is, like, 3 years in. So maybe she would be looking at colleges now.
I think she would be, because I think she was a sophomore when they were starting freshman year of college.
Oh. Yeah, so that would make sense. You're right. I'm wrong.
No, that's okay. We had to do the math.
Yeah, we love math on this podcast.
We do.
Hollis, who has been gone for 10 months at this point, and Vanessa has been a huge recluse. Like, that independence that she was so excited about, she did not act on it. She just hung out with her dog, ordered takeout a lot, and watched a bunch of movies, which has a time and place, sure. But for 10 months, like, go do something. Please, Vanessa.
Yeah, all she does is clean. So her sister Ruby comes over. Ruby now has a kid. She is like, you know what, Vanessa, we're going to have a fun night. And Vanessa goes to change, and who comes up the elevator? Because there is an elevator directly to their apartment.
Yeah.
But Hollis, surprise, he's home. Now her life can begin again after 10 months.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, so very excited for that. Serena and Dan are kind of waiting in the car for Jenny and talking about what Jenny's next life steps are going to be. And Jenny comes back waltzing into the car saying, hey, who do you think I ran into? It was Nate. And they're like, hop in, Nate. Let's give you a ride back to the city.
Yeah, Serena acts like it's water under the bridge. I think I'd be panicking a little bit after a year of not seeing him. But no, she gets in the back seat. Nate's right in the middle between her and Jenny. Dan's annoyed because, I mean, like, damn, it's Heartbreak City here. This guy broke his girlfriend's heart and his sister's heart before. No dice.
Yikes.
I'd be no the dice. Police. Cop time. Time for me to be a cop.
And this is also one of the most insane plot lines I read in this book, because as they're driving, blizzard happens, like immediate blizzard. They cannot drive in this. And Jenny's like, well, let's just go get a hotel. And Serena goes, no. I think I know the code to Blair's vacation house in Newport. Let's go stay there. Which is one of the most horrible things I can think of, because they're not even friends. Like, if they had reconnected at the end of the last book, I'd be like, sure. But, like, if you're not friends with someone, you cannot go stay on their property without asking them.
I think I'd be way too scared to do that. We, as a reader, are kind of led to believe that Blair is in England right now, because she is talking about being with her dads for the holidays. She is going to St. Peter's abroad, which is convenient because now she's dating Chuck again. I think another show influence, and he is at Oxford, and they're gonna move in together.
Yeah, yes, things are pretty serious. But as they're all talking about, you know, how happy and jolly things are this holiday season, everybody shows up at their house because they're actually in Newport and not in England. And Blair's rightfully pissed because she doesn't talk to any of these people anymore. And her dad insists on all of them staying because there's a storm outside.
I am just so shocked at the lack of communication that Blair doesn't tell her boyfriend things. Also, whenever something happens to me, I don't even care if my parents are going to hate it or don't really want to listen. I do tell them the gossip. I do catch up with them. So I was like, how do your parents not know that who you're beefing with?
Exactly. At night, we learned that Blair's dad has assigned everybody a room, and Jenny can't sleep, and she's just thinking about how hot and sexy Nate must be all up in the attic bedroom, and she decides to just go see what's up in the attic, and ends up just exploring a wardrobe and trying on some clothes that's in there, which is a little goofy, but okay.
Yeah, you ever go and you're like, I really want to hook up with this guy, but then you get up there and you kind of get attention deficit and you're like, wait, but first maybe I should try on this wedding dress that I just found that no one's gonna find, and then the guy finds you in the wedding dress. What an icebreaker, you know?
Hey, he kisses her, so I guess it worked.
That is true. They start making out. He's trying to take off the wedding dress to be polite. But also, I don't know. It feels like bad luck to kiss someone in a wedding dress.
Well, who knows? But Blair has heard noises in the attic. So she's going upstairs to be like, what the fuck? She's coming in moments after Jenny has disappeared into the night. And Nate is hanging up the wedding dress. And Blair's like, what the fuck are you doing with my mom's wedding dress? And Nate's like, nothing. I was just hanging it back up.
There is a moment where Blair considers he's cross-dressing, but then she sees how hot he is and she's like, they would never put on a wedding dress.
And that's kind of where it's left. There doesn't really feel like there's romantic tension between them there. It just kind of feels like just an exchange.
Yeah. She does go downstairs and kind of starts softening up to Serena because she sees Serena playing with her dad's adopted twins and is making this old graham cracker concoction that they used to make as kids. And they start getting nostalgic about old moments. They've been getting drunk all day. They talk about the kiss on the lips party from the first book. Mm-hmm. Dan is starting to feel left out of this conversation. So he gets up to leave, as they are going to go do a high energy activity, which he would hate anyways, because Blair is antsy. She's like, let's go sledding. Let's do it.
God, I can't believe Dan just like couldn't even fathom like, oh, I can't like listen to these other people reminisce about things that don't include me. It's your partner's life. Listen to it. Oh, my God.
He was getting resentful of Jenny, like, hopping in, too, to be like, and remember this other thing? And then you wouldn't believe it. Blair and Serena built off that point. Why don't you just hop in, too?
Yeah. Like, why can't it be like, well, I wasn't there for any of these things. Like, shut up and play along. But of course, Dan, in his party pooper atmosphere, who doesn't want to go sled and doesn't want to listen to other people have conversations and about memories that don't include him, he decides to text Vanessa just to, like, see how she's doing, put some feelers out.
Which is great for Vanessa, because Vanessa is just at home. She's resigned to being a housewife, and she's not having this life when this text from Dan kind of provides a doorway. So she's excited for what the future holds.
The gang is playing in the snow, mm-hmm. having a good old fancy time, and this is when Jenny looks over at Nate in his sledding outfit and decides that she wants him to take her virginity.
Yeah, that is the moment when she knows she's gonna freaking lose it to him.
Oh, yeah, she's gonna go and lose it.
She's gonna lose it. So they're sledding together. They're touching hips. You know, all the signs that you are ready for sex. Yeah. You gotta sled and touch hips. Yeah. And their flirting is really driving Blair crazy. Yeah. Blair is like, Blair is gonna go inside to sleep. Also, the power is out now. So the power is out. All three girls, Serena, Blair, Jenny, they've all gone inside. They've gotten ready for bed. Power's out. It's like a Clue board game. You can move around the house undetected. They decide that they're going to go upstairs to Nate's bedroom. They all three want to confront him.
But despite all of the timing coinciding with each other, only Blair and Serena run into each other. Like, and they're like holding candles in their nightgowns. And they're both like, well, why are you on your way to the attic? And it's so funny.
They both make up excuses that don't make sense. Serena is sleeping in the basement. And she says Dan is showering in that bathroom. So I guess she has to go three stories up to the attic because maybe there's only two bathrooms in this big house.
The stories are not adding up. And it's really funny.
So Blair escorts Serena to another bathroom. And this gives Jenny a play-by-play to just kind of go in on the side. It's like when you set a pick and roll in basketball.
Yeah, and then your other teammate. Roll.
Yeah, I'm into sports betting now. So Jenny gets up to Nate first, and they do it. They fuck in this sleigh bed.
Yeah, and of course, Jenny, she has no chill. She's like, do you want to have sex with me? It would be my first time I've ever had sex ever. And Nate's just like, sure.
Nate is so down. The next morning, Blair is annoyed with Chuck by her side. She's icy to Serena because she's thinking Serena might have snuck back up to Nate's room. But they still can't leave because the blizzard is picking up and they're going to have to stay another night at this Newport house. Vanessa, meanwhile, wakes up to Hollis being really gaslighty, going through her phone, seeing her text to Dan, and he starts doing this thing, victimizing the fact that, like, he's a neglectful partner by just being like, well, why would I do anything with, like, clearly you're just gonna go back to, like, Dan, all this shit, blah, 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 which was so annoying.
I mean, I get that Hollis has been really busy, but I feel like if I found out my partner had been having like an hours long conversation with their ex and didn't tell me about it, I would be pretty pissed too.
I think I would be pissed. I think I would be pissed up front and then I'd be like, you know what? Is this about me? Like, I'm sorry. And also, if you are going to be friends with your ex, can you just like be honest and tell me? Because I would like to not have to worry about anything. And if you hide it, then it's like, okay, well, you're clearly, you want to, like, fuck them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Back at Blair's, they are playing Clue. She makes a snide comment about Serena going up to sneak into Nate's room in front of Dan.
That was pretty cruel, I'll be honest. Especially when she's guilty, too. But I also kind of liked it because I was like, that's the mean Blair we know from the first few books. Like, that is very books like 1, 2, 3, 4 Blair.
Yeah, I do like in the earlier books when she would be mean and then balance it out by having some empathetic moments with people where she actually connects. But right now she is pure mean. Nate is not having it either. He's like, these girls fight over me all the time. I'm over their bullshit, even though I'm starting it. Fuck it, I've had it. He packs to leave. And Jenny's like, can I go with you on the boat? And he's like, sure. You know what? Sure, why not?
I mean, I will say I do feel like Nate had every right to be mad here. Because, like, Nate didn't entertain anything with either of them this time.
Yeah,
like,
that is
he
true.
Was really, like, blinders on. I'm here. I'm a guest. I'm missing my cows. He was living his life, you know?
I know. You know what? He's going through grief, okay? Because he is away from his cows. Let him be.
I thought you were
going
to say because he lost Chips, but no, it's because of the cows.
No, Chips was last year. This is junior
year. You're right. No,
come on, Nate,
get
over it. Now we're on the cows. Exactly.
Blair cries about Nate to her dad because she's like, one, I didn't get Nate, and also two, Chuck's probably mad at me now. And her dad gives her some good advice and is like, you got to own up to what you did and apologize.
So Blair goes, she apologizes to Chuck. She's like, hey, listen, things are kind of weird with Nate and Serena. And Chuck's like, I get it. They say they love each other. It's all water under the bridge. They are all A-okay. The next day, Dan and Serena are going to be the ones that are driving back home because, as we mentioned, Nate and Jenny are on the boat. And they kind of have a frank discussion about the same thing that Blair and Chuck have. Actually, it's a lot more human than it, because Dan is like, hey, I get it.
Yeah.
It's hard to get over your first love. And Serena does say that she loves him here, which I thought was a very sweet moment. And plus, karma is right around the corner, because the minute they get to Dan's, who is at his place but Vanessa, because she just broke up with Hollis and she has nowhere to stay.
And of course, Dan, guilty as fuck, who also didn't say I love you back to Serena. It's just like, Vanessa, so happy to see you. Of course you can stay. Stay here forever as long as you need to.
Mm-hmm. So Serena's just kind of got to suck it up, I guess.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's the end of year three.
Okay, who do you think is the canceled character from junior year?
Oh, this is hard. It might be Blair.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking Blair.
I think it's got to be Blair, yeah.
I think you can't do the pot calling the kettle black. If it wasn't, no. If you also weren't going to cheat on your boyfriend and know that that ammo was going to be thrown right back at you.
Especially since this was the second time she's cheated on her boyfriend. I think I can be a little forgiving of Pete because she was obviously like 19, 18 when she did that. Mm-hmm. And also they'd been dating for 3-4 months at that point. But she's been dating Chuck for a year. Like, you can't rightfully cheat on your boyfriend of a year with your ex-boyfriend of years at this point.
No, that's just messy and hurtful.
Yeah.
We are going into senior year.
Senior year.
We got updates on that. Dan going to the Iowa Writers Workshop. Of course he is. He is still mm-hmm. with Serena. I mean, he's truly winning. Stay winning.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's in a long-term relationship with someone who hasn't cheated on him or vice versa. Mm-hmm. He's going to Iowa. Great. Great for him. He's living his best life.
Blair and Chuck, they did long distance while she was back at Yale. And Jenny and Nate, they just kind of make out on their nearby campuses.
Yeah. They have a house together, which is kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Blair's family is moving back to New York, so they're hosting a little party right now to kind of just be like, we're back, bitches. And we also learn here that Serena is graduating early despite only being a sophomore, technically, which good for her. She really hit the books.
I guess when all you are doing is coming in to visit your boyfriend on the weekends and that's kind of all you do, maybe you do just graduate 2 years early.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know how to do the math there, but she's figured it out.
She's figured it out.
Yeah.
She is going to be at this party. She is cordial with Blair in front of Blair's mom because, once again, Blair doesn't tell her family really anything.
Yeah.
And Blair's mom is like, what's next for you, Serena? What are you going to do? And she's like, well, you know, Dan got into Iowa, so I guess I'll head to Iowa City. I heard it's quaint.
Yeah, which Maggie... Can you confirm that it's quaint?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it's probably like a 10-block radius, which will be a really fun downgrade from New York City.
I hear it's the New York City of Iowa, so.
Yeah, Blair does ask if all we do in Iowa is milk cows. And no, Blair, we develop drinking problems. We also do that. So.
Hey, think about that.
Think about that, Blair.
Nate is showing up to this party hand in hand with Jenny. Who was technically not invited, we learned pretty quickly. So Jenny's like, it's okay, I'll just sit in Nate's lap. And they're being very handsy, very coupley, very PDA-y. And Eleanor Waldorf Rose is not having it. She is like, Jenny, you can sit next to Tyler, my son Tyler, who is now a 16-year-old DJ.
Yep, that is what he is up to, closer to Jenny's age range, I would say, than Nate. Nate is between Blair and Serena. He's kind of reminiscing on moments with Blair, and Blair is about to get a job at a litigation firm because, of course, she's a lawyer.
Yeah.
She does, in her moment of interacting with Serena and being stressed by Serena, remind herself that she will be at this litigation firm while Serena is reading poetry to cornstalks, which I thought was an incredible roast.
Serena and Blair end up kind of catching up at this party, and they are making fun of Nate and Jenny so fucking hard. They're basically pointing out how cringe their relationship is and laughing all about it. So kind of reconnecting in a way.
That is true. They do make fun of the fact that Nate and Jenny now meow at each other. That is,
yeah.
They will be like, how are you doing, meow meow? That's their nickname for each other.
Yeah, I guess to each their own. I don't get it, but I guess that's the point of having a stupid bit like that.
Yep. Their game plan, though, Blair and Serena, is going to be to set Jenny up with Blair's brother, Tyler.
Which doesn't make sense to me, because, like, Jenny's, like, what, like, 19 at this point. Like, why would she's in, like, in her second year of college or first year of college. Why would she be interested in a high school student? This was a weird plot line to me.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Vanessa.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
You go.
Okay, Vanessa, she is going to see Hollis's film because despite being broken up with him, she just wants to see how it turned out. And we learned that she is going to be doing film work in Indonesia for the next 2 years. And she's cordial with Dan now, and they're going to go celebrate.
So they go, they eat falafel, they consider their changing future. It seems like they are two people who are definitely doing what they want to in terms of writing and doing film stuff, which is awesome. We go back to Serena, who is opening Christmas gifts. Her mom got her some shoes, and she's really upset about this because she won't have any events to go to in Iowa, which is not true. I just went to Dune 2 for $6 at the Cheap Theater. So, Serena, wear those Jimmy Choos to the Cheap Theater.
Yeah, they'll be great on the popcorn-ridden floor.
Yep. They're going to move to a Frank Lloyd Wright house. Apparently there's 11 in Iowa. I did research. I also visited one that is 8 minutes away from my house today, but that's not the one that they are moving into, I don't think. But technically I am 45 minutes away from Iowa. Maybe it is the one.
I was gonna say, technically you don't know which house they're gonna move to because they didn't give an address in the book, so it could have been the one you drove past.
Cool. Maybe I saw where they are moving into today.
Yeah,
it is roped off though.
Exactly. Vanessa is with her family for the holidays. She's talking to them about Indonesia and how excited she is. But of course, she just can't get the feeling and thought of Dan outside of her little mind.
Yeah, just go. You're going to do great. Get out of it.
You'll be so much happier without Dan. You've been, honestly, her life, she blew the fuck up when she stopped being with Dan.
I know, seriously. You started dating a really rich Hollywood exec. And I mean, even if your life was boring, you had a really fucking nice apartment. Like,
yeah.
Room and board. And
also, she made her life boring. Like, she had every ounce to go out and do stuff.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Chuck calls Blair up to say, come over, I've got a surprise for you. And he has decorated the apartment to her liking. It is pastel purple wallpaper. It sounds very nice, but it all feels way too much, too fast for her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. I sped up too far in my notes. Oh no. Okay, Jenny and Nate are going to the Nutcracker.
Yeah, they are.
And that's very reminiscent because in, like, book three, when they dated, they went to the Nutcracker. Mm-hmm. Nate can't help but thinking about Serena and Blair on their way to the Nutcracker. And Jenny's, like, kind of excited for, like, a little date night out because they spent a lot of time indoors together. But Nate just wants to kind of, like, go home and watch TV after. And he falls asleep, like, really quickly. And Jenny's like, this is kind of boring to me.
Yeah, he fell asleep watching a sailing documentary. Like, not even something fun.
Well, I mean, it would put you to sleep. It's a sailing documentary.
That is true. Jenny is like, you know what? Fuck it. Tyler, Blair's 16-year-old brother, invited me out to his DJ thing. So she calls up Elise. I don't know if you remember Elise, her bestie from the previous books. And they decide they're going to go dance. She dances up on Tyler. Okay. Love it.
Yeah, don't worry. They've had a conversation of what counts as cheating. So they're going in hot to tonight. Blair and Serena, meanwhile, are so drunk on 2 bottles of wine, very Maggie and Laura coded.
Absolutely.
And they are going to break into Nate's to watch movies.
They break into Nate's place. He is still asleep, and they get into his bed. They kind of take their pants off, and they're going to watch Breakfast at Tiffany's.
Yeah, and he wakes up on his couch downstairs and goes up to see 2 half-naked girls in his bed and is kind of like, all right, I'm in.
They all clamber into bed to watch the movie, and they eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Good old times. Hoping for a threesome. I really was like, just squash it.
This book is so thruple coded that I was kind of like, maybe they just all end up together. Dan and Vanessa are getting pizza, last hurrah, before they both go off their separate ways again. And they end up kissing during this, which is like, come on. I am so over the Dan and Vanessa narrative.
Yeah, Dan has kind of decided that he's going to just abandon Serena because she is not his intellectual equal. Vanessa is, though, I guess. So the next day, Serena meets up with Dan. I mean, she has slept in Nate's bed, but they didn't do anything. And she tells him that she secured the Frank Lloyd Wright house for rent. And Dan doesn't bring up the fact that he slept with Vanessa. Instead, he is saying that Serena deserves to find her own thing. You know, I should go to Iowa by myself because if I've learned one thing from the past 5 months, being in Iowa alone, it's great. It's the best time.
You'll learn a lot about yourself, I promise.
And she says she kind of guesses she needs to find her own Iowa, which, yeah, romanticize it. It's great here. My dad, yeah. I hang out with my dad 7 guns every day.
I mean, Maggie, you saw Dune 2 today. What's the issue?
I did see Dune 2. It was actually a great day.
It's a really good movie. But very, like, casual way of dumping her and just so nonchalant that I'm like, y'all have been dating for a minute. Like, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Chuck, meanwhile, with Blair, he is trying, like, more planning for the future of, like, what are we going to do next summer? What are we going to do this coming summer? Things like that. What we can do over the rest of the holidays. Blair gets so overwhelmed that she also just very casually dumps him.
Yeah, she breaks up with Chuck. She just kind of wants to live her 20s and figure it out, which it seems like that's the theme of senior year. Because we move on to Jenny, who she's going to go on a date with Nate. She's all dressed up. She's so excited. She's been out all week partying and following around Tyler's DJ set. So she's like ready to be a person who goes out. And Nate doesn't want to go on a date, he's like, let's just order in. And Jenny's like, I'm done with this. I dressed up. We always stay in. And I'm sorry. I'll always love you. But, like, we can't live a married life at 20.
Yeah. And I think that's very justified from Jenny's side, especially because, like, Jenny is very young and should be partying and being stupid.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I also do think out of all three of the girls, if you're going to consider Nate in their context, Jenny kind of makes the most sense for me because she has the same chill vibe as Serena, but she has the same ambition as Blair.
Yeah, Jenny weirdly is, I think, one of the most well-rounded characters in this entire series, and they wrote her off for like 4 books.
I think she fits really well with Nate because then Nate gets to do that thing that he wants to do, which is feel like someone is looking up to him who is younger and take care of them. So
yeah. No, when they got together, I was like, this absolutely makes sense. But then it wasn't meant to be because she's thinking about kissing a 16-year-old boy. It looks like the mentee has become the mentor.
That is true. The student becomes the master.
She says, ooh, age gap relationship. I'm going to reverse it now. Blair and Serena are hanging out for New Year's Eve. It's New Year's Eve once again. Tyler is DJing and Jenny's sitting up on his DJ booth. Case just rocking out.
Yeah she is. So Blair goes over to interrogate Jenny because she's seeing Jenny flirt with her brother, and Jenny's like, don't worry, I broke up with Nate. And that is Blair's first concern, and as Blair is turning to leave, she goes, by the way, do not hurt my brother's feelings. And then she heads out.
Yeah,
she's got her priorities straight.
And Vanessa, meanwhile, is en route to this New Year's Eve party to tell Dan to stay with Serena, which I think is hilarious. For some reason, I picture her, like, sprinting, being like, oh my god, I can't let him dump her.
She has on, like, 4-inch heels, too. So she's both trying to look hot and also remind the guy that she's dressing hot for that, no, you actually don't want to be with me. But do you kind of a little bit? So she's showed up dressed to impress. She finds Dan on the terrace. They admit they will miss each other while she is in Indonesia and he is in Iowa, but in 2 years they promise they're gonna find each other, they're gonna kiss.
Hey, 2 years out of college is a long fucking time. You are going to change so much in like the first few years out of college.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nate gets to the party, and for some reason, he's learned his lesson. He does text Serena and Nate that he's there separately, no group chat this time. And Serena and Blair are both like, oh, I have to get going. I have to go outside. And then we have this like really awkward moment where they're all outside, and Blair and Serena have obviously gone to meet Nate. And they're like, what are you doing here?
Serena gets there first. She is gonna ask Nate if he wants to travel the world with her, but she realizes actually Nate isn't the person she wants to travel with. So as Blair comes rolling in right after her, Serena whirls around to be like, Blair, I want to travel with you. I want to travel the world with you. And Blair is so fucking in. Nate tries to invite himself. Serena's like, no, you're not invited.
And they run away laughing, which is perfect. And Nate's like, damn, they chose each other.
And that's the end of the series, which is, thank God.
Yeah, I don't know. I really liked this as the ending as compared to last book, where I was like, damn, this just didn't hit, but this hit.
I mean, I can't believe it took them 6 years to figure this out, but they did it.
Hey, to each their own. And sometimes it takes people 6 years to figure things out.
I did kind of like at this New Year's Eve party, the opposite of a canceled character, the winners of the series, that Isabel and Katie show up and they are engaged and Blair and Serena don't pick up on it. They have wedding rings on. They're holding hands. And they are like, yeah, I can't believe it took us so long to figure it out. And they kind of indicate that Blair and Serena also are like, they're like, yeah, it took us a while. Like, see, you guys are still kind of taking a while to figure it out, which I thought was a very, very funny scene.
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But Meg, who is your canceled character for the fourth year?
I would say that one's pretty tricky, honestly.
Yeah. I might say Dan because he cheated on Serena and his girlfriend bought him a fucking house. And he didn't even say thank you. But also Nate was kind of a inactive boyfriend, which is kind of a bummer too. He got very complacent, it seems. But I think I'd still err on the side of Dan.
My gut was saying Dan, because, I mean, not only did he break up with her, Serena was like, well, I have the Frank Lloyd Wright house rented out until December, if you want to stay. Which is really nice, and why would you... Yeah. Also, she's gorgeous. I don't know. You can figure it out.
I mean... Yeah, I don't know. It just felt very much like, it felt like they got along really well, too. I was so shocked that he was like, I've decided I don't want to do this anymore.
And I'll reiterate the point I've been making for almost half a year now. Do people who dump others deserve rights? I don't know. Hey, I don't know.
Think about that. You know who you are.
Put this bill on the ballot, which is that they don't deserve the right to vote, the right to live. No, I'm kidding. Unless. JK, no, I'm kidding, guys.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Louder for the people in the back.
No, Maggie. I'm completely kidding. We opted out of a top five for this one because it feels like it covered so much ground.
Yeah. How can we do a top five when it covered so much, you know?
We really did. I feel like that's it for this episode. We're going to obviously have our wrap up of Gossip Girl in the series next week. Laura, do you have anything else you want to add?
All I want to add is that you can follow us on social media on TikTok and Twitter at YahWeReddit and on Instagram at Meggie and Laura.
You can also email us about the Drake passage we haven't forgotten from last week.
Fund our trip.
Meggie and Laura present at gmail.com. We'll make TikToks. We'll hit the gritty on the boat if you send us. I don't know.
I was thinking, how funny would it be if we tried to make like long distance TikToks? I'm like, you film your part and then I film my part and we splice them together.
I mean, we literally could. If you film it outside of the app, you can.
Exactly. So
we'll try to make long distance TikToks.
We'll figure it out. We'll talk.
We'll figure it out. We'll let you guys know. And I guess until then, we will always love you.
We will always love you. And
bye.
Bye.
Thank you.